This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. Well, it's been a little while. State Representative Virgil Osborne, don't be confused, it's not Friday, but he's in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
So, I know you've had a bit of a break since the session has gotten done, but things still happen in Salem. A few days ago, the governor paused potential farm rule changes. I wanted to ask you about that kind of at the front end.
Yeah, there were a lot of stuff seems to be happening in the House and the Senate. There's bills that are being passed that are just bad. And ultimately, they're bad for business, they're bad for farmers. That particular movement was really bad for farmers. They were going to change some of the regulations where, you know, of what they could sell at farm stands. They couldn't even literally sell their next door neighbor's products at farm stands. I mean, just changed the whole entire way business is being handled. And I think there was enough outrage and outcry from the farm community and others that the governor's feeling a lot of pressure right now, so she put a pause to that. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens when you have bureaucracies making rules. And it happens with DEQ, it happens with a lot of the different bureaucracies that are ran by the government, but they are given the latitude to make their own rules as they go. And thankfully, she stopped that. So hopefully, we can move forward, and that'll just hopefully just die.
Well, and of course, it's a pause, so you never know exactly what might happen next.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I believe the governor is holding over our heads, particularly in rural Oregon. So she has not signed House Bill 5006 yet either, which is the actual Christmas tree bill, which gives a fair amount of money to different, grants and what have you in rural Oregon. So, I mean, I really, truly believe she is waiting to see if she gets her ODOT transportation bill through. And if she doesn't get it the way she wants it, or if you vote against it, I believe she's going to hold rural Oregon accountable for it.
Now, is there a timeline once the session has been completed, legislation has been passed, for bills to have to be signed?
Yeah, there is, and I had that number in my head, but I believe it's 30 days. She's got time, not a lot of time, but she's got some time left, I believe, to sign the bill. And she can also line item veto out whatever she wants. So, you know, we brought home some fairly decent projects to Douglas County, one being the Veterans Home. We brought that money back, the $35 million. We got $500,000 for the Sutherland Fire Department. We got $176,000 for the Cancer Center in Roseburg here, and $1.4 million for the fish hatchery. So none of that has officially been signed yet. So that's why I haven't really came out and said a whole lot about it, because she technically could line item veto whatever she wants out of it.
Let's back up to the farm rules for a bit. What about the role of state agencies to make policy versus legislative approval? Where do you kind of draw the line in terms of what agencies are allowed to do and what the legislature has to do in setting overall policy?
It's always better if the legislature has the ability to set the policies, or at least the policies have to be reviewed by the legislature. What the current Democratic Party would like to do is put all that into the hands of the governor, and that's basically what's happened there. And in many other agencies, like I mentioned, DEQ. DEQ can just come out with their own rules, and they can make up whatever they want. They might have to go public to have a public hearing for a rule change, but they don't have to go through the legislature. So it takes the pressure off the legislature, which is wrong. I mean, we should have the pressure on us. The folks in the legislature should be the ones that are approving any kind of bills or laws that are going to affect the population of Oregon. And it happens over and over and over again. And this was just another one of those that, you know, thankfully the governor stepped in and paused it. But this could have been really bad for farms. I mean, we've already been so hard on our farming community, you know, over the past 5-6 years. Anyway, we've lost hundreds of farms, and I think this would have been another step in closing some of them down.
Let's talk about that special session in the Oregon Department of Transportation budget. Do you feel like we're going to walk back into the session kind of like the last few days of the previous session, or do you think what's on the table is going to change at all?
Well, it's great that she scheduled it for Labor Day weekend. That was, I'm sure, on purpose. That's a form of punishment. She likes to do that. She's very vindictive when it comes to those kind of things. So I believe it'll be a one-day session. I think they will have they have to give some public hearings to the bill. They'll probably do that in the morning. They'll second read it on the House floor, and then they'll ask for the ability to waive the rules and put it right through to a vote on the House floor. It's a tax bill, so it has to start in the House, and then it would go to the Senate for approval after that. I mean, I'm a no on tax bills. And I'm also not that thrilled about going to special session to give the governor what she wants when it's just going to hurt our district even more. So we haven't, as a caucus, we actually are meeting tomorrow, but we haven't as a caucus even decided whether or not we want to show up. Now, they have 36 members. They can pass a tax bill on their own. They need 40 to have quorum. And if the Democrats would like to pass a 6 cents a gallon tax bill, then, you know, I guess they can do that on their own without us. Either way, I'm going to be a no. There's plenty of money in the budget. There's plenty of money in emergency management funding to keep ODOT running. This whole farce of laying people off was absolutely a vindictive move on her part. It did not have to happen, and it didn't. She paused the layoffs. So that tells you right there was money in the funds, and now she's waiting for this bill to get through.
And what have you been hearing? Have you talked to any of kind of ODOT staff at all? People might talk to you unofficially and share their thoughts?
You know, we get bits and pieces. ODOT staff has helped with helping us as a Republican Party to come back with suggestions of where the money needs to be spent, where it has been being spent, and, you know, unfortunately, some of the abuses of the money that's been being spent, DEI being one of them. But I try to stay kind of away from the fire, so to speak, with ODOT, because I know, you know, I don't want a conflict to go into, you know, I'm going to be going back to vote on it again. Now, I have had a number, and it's been a lot of ODOT employees that have either contacted me via message or phone call, or, you know, I have a lot of friends that work for ODOT, and to a T, every single one of them have said, thank you, we're on your team on this, we support you for not voting that through. Nobody wants to pay, you know, that was going to be a tax increase of 40 to 80 cents a gallon in gas tax, just the start of it, you know. So this new bill, I don't know where people are on it. I mean, most people are not familiar with it. I know that I don't even know if it officially has a number yet, but 6 cents a gallon is probably much more palatable for most people. It's not for me. I believe that we don't need to raise taxes, but the biggest part of her last attempt after the House Bill 2025 failed and she came back with the 3 cents a gallon increase was that it cut out the 50-30-20 split with the counties and the cities. And, you know, that's not going to fly. I mean, when you're taking that money away from county projects and city projects, I mean, that's literally taking the money out of the heart of the state. And she was okay with that. So there's so much in this thing that's so involved, and it's going to be ugly.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. State Representative Virgil Osborne, they interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1244 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246, Lars Larson at One True Wealth Radio. Coming up at 4 o'clock in studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne taking a look at the Oregon State Legislature. Now, you've got summer, no meetings in Salem, at least the larger meetings, maybe, until legislative days, right?
Well, we'll have
a outside special, of the session.
Let's see, yeah. We'll have a special session, yeah. And then legislative days will be in September. So I go back and forth to Salem off and on between now and then for different reasons, meeting with different people. But yeah, nothing really major. For the most part, I'm back in district until session.
Now, after you go through a session, I'm sure both parties kind of look around and reevaluate. People start to think whether or not they want to seek another term, et cetera. What's the GOP going to do to try to gain more seats?
Well, I think the only strategy we have left right now is the session was horrible. I mean, the bills we passed were not good, and there was a lot of stuff that's going to be very damaging. You know, there was some good things that happened. There were some things that we were able to get out from under. But for instance, the gun bill, House Bill 243, was a horrible bill against your Second Amendment rights. And of course, we managed to kill two of the bad gun bills. But I think. I think what happens now is the Democrats are going to they've earned it. So when it comes time to start campaigning, they're going to have to explain to the public why they voted yes on some of these really bad bills that are really hurting the public. When you look around the state of Oregon and you look at what's going on with business right now and all of the new regulations and restrictions that we added to on top of what was already happening, we have businesses leaving the state as fast as they can close down and get out of here. We lost Dutch Brothers corporate headquarters. They moved. Intel's now scheduled to lay off, I think, 1,100 people. There's just other businesses that are just bailing because the state's failing to be business friendly. And that is going to have to be answered by the folks that made it that way.
Now, in decades past, there was kind of a segment of the Democratic Party that was sort of called the business friendly part. Is that there anymore?
It is. As a matter of fact, it's not called that anymore. But yes, Daniel Wynn, he's a Democrat out of Portland, and he owns a chain of restaurants. And he's starting to see the writing on the wall. So he's formed somewhat of a caucus, and I'm actually on it, a business caucus that has both House Republicans and I think it might even have some Senate folks in there too, Republicans and Democrats, both sides. We are supposed to be meeting probably by the end of summer. We will start meeting and talk about business. Honestly, the environmental regulations that we are putting on our businesses is really probably the number one biggest hurt. And then we've got tax increases, and you know, there's no break for business in Oregon. I mean, we rank, I think we just dropped another 11 points or something. I don't remember what the number was, but we're close to the bottom in business friendliness in this state, in this state compared to all the other states in the country.
So how do you change that?
I mean, there's only one way you can change it. We have to start instilling business-friendly policies. We have to give tax breaks to businesses to bring them here. We have to give them incentives. We need to improve our schools. We need to have businesses come here because there's colleges, there's recruits, there's employees. All of the things that are required, of course, labor is the most expensive part of business, so all of the things that are required need to be here. Plus the market. We need to be able to have a market. Now, Intel is, they're a heavy, heavy union shop. The average payroll at Intel is probably exceeds $100,000 per person, and they're losing 1,100 jobs. That's a huge hit, not only to the community, because they're not going to have the tax base. They're also not going to have people spending money in the community that would normally, maybe go buy a new car once a year. They're not going to be there doing that anymore. So until we turn the table and say, hey, look, we want businesses to come here, much like Nevada's doing. I don't know if you've been to around Reno or Sparks lately, but the businesses are popping up everywhere like crazy. The place is going completely nuts because they want business there.
And are you hopeful that you could see some change?
I'm guardedly optimistic, but I do believe that the state has to hit rock bottom before it's going to turn around and go the other way. I hope we've hit rock bottom. I thought we hit rock bottom in 22 when I was running. I really thought we got to the point where things were going to get better, and I haven't seen that yet. So hopefully we're there. And I think it's going to require electing some more conservative folks in different districts and start moving in the right direction. And I will be there. I'll just announce now, I'm definitely running again. We don't really throw our name in the hat until March, but I'm in.
And as you look ahead, if you get back in next year, what are some of the things you'd like to try to accomplish?
Well, I still had a lot of bills that we'll go back and rewrite some of them. Some of them are real technical. I have a bill that prevents foreign adversaries that are on the terrorist list from being able to buy property in Oregon, the timberlands, which is what they're doing. It also prevents them from being able to come in and buy properties near military installations in Oregon as well. Some of that kind of stuff. There's so many basic things. And I had a dozen bills for just with basic stuff that was just good for the state. But, unfortunately, the Democratic-controlled House committees just did not care. And we'll keep doing that. I'll keep working on business-friendly bills. I'll keep working on reasons for the state to improve. Locally, we have lots and lots of opportunities.
Now, you mentioned earlier some money for the Winchester Dam. What would that be for?
One money for Winchester Dam. There was, you're talking about in the 5006 Christmas Tree Bill?
Right.
I might have said Winchester Dam. If I did, I didn't mean to. It was for the fish hatchery.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the Rock Creek fish hatchery. I may have said Winchester, but I apologize if I did. But yeah, so we got that money. That was $1.4 million. We were asking for two, but we had enough. We have, we supposedly, if the governor signs the bill, we will have enough to keep that hatchery open. And that's the goal.
Any kind of timeline for moving forward with work there?
Well, I think the work has continued. I mean, there still is an employee or two up there. The Cow Creek Tribe has also helped out there. And I think the Cow Creek Tribe was looking for the state to come in and say, okay, we're going to continue forward with this. And then they will continue to to help make it happen as well. There are other options for hatcheries on different rivers, and Cold River being one, and I think that that will continue to happen, but we should be getting our fish hatchery back here.
Well, let's go back to the Oregon Department of Transportation for a minute. A lot of projects out there that need to be done with the infrastructure kind of hitting the end of life in a lot of cases. If federal changes continue, how does the state deal with not getting a big federal match or even much greater amount for these projects?
Well, that comes back to what we discussed earlier, bureaucracy and management. I mean, there has to be accountability for ODOT, just like there should be accountability for DEQ and every other government organization. They need to prioritize what needs to be done by the year that it's due to have it done and by the amount of dollars that needs to be spent on it. And then if they don't have the money to do it that year, then it needs to go to the back burner until the next year or whenever it can come up. Frankly, 38% of our budget for the state is given to us by the federal government. So when our governor doesn't want to comply with anything that the Trump administration wants to do, it's really incumbent upon her to go, okay, what do we need to do to be in compliance here? Because otherwise, our state suffers. And unfortunately, she doubled down and passed, she did her executive order for public labor agreements, which increased the price of doing projects even more, because now they have to be union projects or they can't be done, even in rural Oregon where there are no union employees to do the job. So it's very difficult.
What do we do with the state police and their funding level, the number of employees they have?
We passed the state police budget. I don't believe that the state police budget is in jeopardy here. That was on the House floor. That passed, I believe, unanimously. And I don't really remember. I think it did increase the number of troopers by a small amount, but it was insignificant.
And that number of troopers, though, people have said is way too low and has been for years.
Oh, it's absolutely too low. And honestly, I think we should be, if it was up to me, we'd be writing a big check to the state police, because we need, have you been on I-5 lately? Have you seen, nobody drives anywhere close to the speed limit. Everybody's driving 80, 90 miles an hour. And we have, between here and Salem, I think we have like two troopers on duty most of the time, and it's, there are ways to do that. And again, agencies need to, not saying the state police doesn't manage their budget, because I believe they are a good agency and I believe they do that. But, there's general fund money and there's money that can be spent on that. And instead, we're spending it on, homeless projects. And then, we continue to dump almost $100,000 per homeless person into the wind. And it doesn't, we have nothing to show for it. We still have a homeless problem. Nothing's improved. We still have a housing shortage. Maybe we should spend that money on law enforcement.
What about education funding? How did that fare in the session?
Most of the education budgets, I believe, did pass. But again, a lot of those are reliant on federal funding as well. So, the state side of the funding was fine. It got through. Lots of discussion one way or the other on individual bills. But when it comes to the federal portion, which is, I believe, $1 billion that usually comes in from the feds, they're going to have to deal with that. I mean, if the Trump administration says if you don't comply with our new whatever his orders are, then we don't get that money. And there's not enough money in the lottery fund or general fund to make up all that.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up, talk about summer connections with residents. What do you have going next week?
Yeah, we'll be at the fair. I'll have my booth there where it normally is, and happy to talk to folks if they want to come by and ask questions. I'll be there. I should be there pretty much every day. Fair is a long week for me. I usually get there in the mornings when it opens, and I stay till it closes. And happy to talk to anybody that wants to swing by the booth. And that's pretty much my next outreach to community.
And are other lawmakers going to be there too?
I believe Senator Dave Brock Smith will be there. And I'm sure that Representative Scarlatos will make an appearance here and there as well.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.